Again, good morning. And I want to take some time today to perhaps take a fresh look at the time of Jesus and some of the things that he said and he did, particularly with regard to violence in his time. Because if you haven't thought much about it, you really need to know that the time in which Jesus lived was an extraordinarily violent time. Violence was something that you anticipated and expected. You're occupied by the Romans, who could be quite violent in the way they treat particularly occupied territories and the people there within. Even the divisions within the Jewish culture at that time, many competing factions with many different religious and political opinions, not only with the Romans, but with one another. In Jesus's time in particular, what we'll be looking at is also the temple priests and criticism of the temple and those who led the temple. But you had different groups of thought in different understandings of their faith and how things should work and what the civil authority should be. And in that atmosphere, what you said and what you did was always scrutinized. And if you remember, it's the time of Passover in Jerusalem when Jesus is arrested. And of course, Passover is a time of Jewish liberation from slavery to the Egyptians. And at that time of the year, if you will, it is a highly charged atmosphere. Pontius Pilate, who was in Jerusalem for Passover, didn't reside there. I think he resided in Caesarea. But he was in Jerusalem because this is a time fraught with competing interests, political intrigue, rebellion, and so the Romans needed to be there to make sure that nothing got out of hand. Into that atmosphere, with Herod, who was considered a collaborator with the Romans, and with the temple priests and the power of the temple in Jerusalem, which often was criticized, along with different other factions. We remember Judas as being a zealot. And in part, we have the word somebody who's zealous. A zealot was someone who, from, say, for instance, the Romans' perspective, was a terrorist. Jesus enters Jerusalem being welcomed as the King of the Jews, riding in a donkey, fulfilling scripture in doing so, and criticizing and going to the temple and criticizing what was going on there. Now, mind you, all that he's doing is, if you will, in our time, is exercising his right to free speech. But at that time, you had no right to free speech. You could be arrested and executed for what you had to say. And we come to the time when Jesus is arrested, and this is also a time of, as I said, of violence, but of also people who might very well carry arms. Let's take a look at the scripture. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests of the elders of the people. They came to arrest him or possibly kill him. And who's leading them? Judas. It's my opinion that Judas, it wasn't over money. They in the scriptures sometimes it makes it seem like he wanted a bribe or some payoff in order to identify Jesus. My personal feeling was that Judas was the zealot and that Jesus refused to lead a violent uprising when he came into Jerusalem. And because Jesus refused to do that, Judas sold him out. You can't be the Messiah. How could you be the Messiah and you're not willing to fight? Take up swords and lead a rebellion. So Judas leads them there, says, now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, the one I will kiss is the man, arrest him. At once he came up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus said to them, or said to him, friend, do what you are here to do. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. For what crime? They'll figure that out later. But they wanted him gone for what he had said and what he represented. So they arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. It says another part of the Bible where the Jesus followers went out and bought swords. They knew what was happening. They knew what the expectations were. They very well may come for you. You better arm yourself. Well, they didn't have guns at that point. But they did have swords. So Jesus and many of his followers armed themselves with swords, preparing for a possible violent insurrection. And this wouldn't have been the first, it would have been one of a series of insurrections. You will note that in 63 or something like that, CE, all of a sudden, there is this uprising in Jerusalem. It's called the First Jewish Revolt, and it is violent, and the Romans crush it. Later on, there'll be the Second Jewish Revolt, and they will have the Kukbaka. I can't pronounce his name, but he was considered a Messiah. Rabbi Akiva said that he was the Messiah. He led a violent revolt against the Romans. They even minted coins and said, you know, he's the Messiah. He will free us. He is the king of the Jews until the Romans arrived en masse. Completely destroyed Jerusalem. And the temple was gone forever. This is the environment. The environment in Jerusalem in that era and fading era of the Israelite people having at least a king in name ruling over their land, but always a client king. At this point, they then destroyed the culture and exiled the people and made sure the Romans that this would never happen again. This is what they the Romans why they were there. This is why Pontius Pilate was there, waiting for violence. This is a violent land. These are violent people. We're a violent ruling state. And so naturally you might expect that Jesus, being the king of the Jews, as he was proclaimed, would pull out swords and encourage those who followed him to pull out swords and fight. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who would take the sword will die by the sword." Think of it. If Jesus had pulled out his sword and all his followers and fought back and led a revolt in Jerusalem, would we even be talking about him today? He'd just be one of many who pulled their swords out, fought, and were crushed by the Romans. But that's what they expected. The king of the Jews will become a king, raise an army, and fight and free them. And here you have Jesus, when someone pulls out a sword, he says to them, "Put your sword back in its place. I'm not that kind of Messiah. I don't come to bring violence. I don't come to bring the sword. You don't understand me." And true, many did not understand him. For he says, if you're going to live by violence and you're going to live by the sword, we're all going to die by that. I come to bring the kingdom of God, which is not that. I think about it at times. If Jesus would have pulled his own sword and they would have fought them back, and it'd be like a TV movie or something where they're all fighting, this tremendous fight, and there's tremendous violence, and Mel Gibson's the director. Right? But Jesus picks a very different way to go. I'm not here for that. There's enough of that. When those were around him saw that he was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" This again is in Luke. The other one is in Matthew. You see this event in various gospels said a little differently, maybe including some things, leaving some out. When those who were around him saw what was coming, here it comes. Should we strike with the sword? And again, Jesus says, then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. He touches the ear and heals it. No more of this. And I look at our own time. How do we deal with conflict? Increasingly, we've come to be comfortable or accept or simply live with the fact that we will respond to conflict with violence, violent words, and violent actions, including killing our opponents. It's every week. A lot of times it is a radicalized young male with easy access to guns. And so they have learned, or they believe, or online they've been led to believe that the way you deal with your problems is you kill the person who you disagree with. But it just doesn't stay there. It's in our culture, it's in our language, it's in our politics. And if you will, that was what was going on in some way, some form and fashion in the time of Jesus. You have a political enemy? Get a sword. Get some more people with you. Maybe we can take them. And here's Jesus saying, no more of this. I want to say to our culture, our world, our nation, no more of this. This is what I would hope that those who speak to the country, speak to the people, whether it's the media or political leadership, would say to us all, no more of this. In the words of Christ, no more of this. We deal with our differences and draw closer together. But no more of this. Then Simon Peter, who had, and this is in John, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus or Malchus. Here in John, he names that it was Simon Peter. The others, they don't know. But in John, John says it's Simon Peter who drew the sword. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back in its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Now, in John, everything's happening to get you to the cross. So for him, it's like the idea is like, don't stop. I have to go to the cross. If we all fight, I may not get there. Put the sword away. But yet again, it's like this is not the way we're going to do this. This is not the way God wants to do this. Not by the sword, not by killing each other, not by violence, not by assassination. That is not the way I'm going to work with you and in the world. And if you're a follower of me, put away your sword. Prior to this, then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the courtyard of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and they conspired to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. They're afraid of what Jesus was doing, what he was saying. He was a threat to them. And so they plot. They created a plot in order to eliminate him. If you will, it's a planned assassination. But this is the way it was in that time. That's how they lived. Do you want to live that way? Enough of this. I don't want to live this way. Now, there are those who love it, who seek it, who encourage it. Who glory in violence and hatred and division. But that can't be us. Indeed, it's what I worry about in some forms of Christian nationalism. They're this far for calling for violence. And Jesus has always said, enough of that. Mean, think of that time. Then two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right, one on his left. We typically think and talk about it as being robbers or thieves, but the Greek word that's used there in both Mark and Matthew is often translated as robbers or bandits, but in first century usage, it carried strong political overtones. In Roman Palestine, this Greek word was a common term for violent rebels, insurrectionists, or guerrilla fighters resisting Roman rule. You see, even here in this interpretation, it says two rebels, not thieves. It is likely that during the time in which Jesus was speaking in Jerusalem, that there may have very well been insurrectionists, people pulling out swords, rebels, And the Romans are arresting them all and crucifying. Welcome to this world that Jesus lived in. Enough, he said. Those who live by the sword, who live this way, will die this way. This is not the kingdom I come to bring, and I cannot bring it through the sword. If I did, it wouldn't be me. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will die by the sword." How they lived. And it's why many could not accept Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah, they would say. What army did he run? What political victories did he have? It's not the kind of Messiah I'm waiting for. Jesus was different. By what he did and what he said. And yes, indeed, our world, our culture, our people need to hear his words and receive his spirit. For he did not seek to attack through violence those who he opposed. He healed the sick, fed the poor, prayed for his enemies, and never once took up the sword. This is the world I'm working for. And this is the world we need to work to make. It's called the kingdom of God.